dancing through several passages this morning. So please keep them at the ready. You are going to be needing them, but I just want to recap where we have been in the previous weeks. We have been talking about the constitution of discipleship, what it consists of, what it's made of, what does a disciple look like in Long Beach, California. We've been discussing and studying these basic characteristics of every follower of Jesus Christ and kind of holding our own lives up to the light of Scripture and saying, you know, do our lives measure up? Do our lives look like disciples do in Scripture? And so as with that in mind, let's take a look at some of these kind of a written constitution of discipleship, the characteristics, the marks of Christ's disciples. First off, a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who has responded to the mercy that God gives. See, God chose us, the Bible says, and a disciple is one who has responded to that choosing by receiving God's grace as a free gift through an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's both to the content of what the Bible says about who Jesus is. It has to do with the perseverance of continuing to live in that relationship with Jesus Christ. It also has to do with simply trusting, faith in Jesus Christ and in who He is. Which leads us to number two, the transformation that comes to the disciples of Jesus Christ. In the same way that God chose us for mercy, God has chosen His disciples to be transformed. Followers of Jesus show a submission and a relationship to God through the reading, studying, and personal transformation that comes through His Word, the Bible. Personal transformation comes through direct interaction with God's Word. We not only are responsive to God in His mercy, we are responsive to what God has provided for us in His Word. We engage it. We allow it to get into places in our lives where it can transform us. As the Word of God pours inside of us, it changes us from the inside out. Further, as we see that God Himself lives in unity, God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit, and we see that God chose to live in unity with us. He chose to be in a relationship with us. God calls on us a new commandment. I give you, love one another. Live in unity with one another was Jesus Christ's prayer that last night before He was betrayed. God's desire is that God's people would distinguish themselves with the love of God, with the love that they have for each other in the community that is the family of God, and that in that distinguishing relationship, we would show unity with one another. Unity in unity with a mission that God has given us, unity in purpose with what we are doing, unity with one another, building His local and global church through groups and personal relationships. Once again, where does it all come from? God chose to be in relationship with us. And He has called on us to respond to Him by being in relationship with one another. When we have a conflict with another person, it is less about that person and more about whether or not we are walking in unity with God. Finally, we talked last week about service, about the whole concept that God serves us, that He washes our feet and has asked us to do likewise, to serve one another, that our love would not just be a love in theory, but that it would be a love in action. Followers of Jesus are called to serve one another from grateful and responsive souls which recognize God's great gifts and serve one another in the knowledge that in reality we are serving Christ Himself. Remember those verses? When you do it unto the least of these, you have done it unto Me. When you don't do it unto the least of these, you have rejected Me, is essentially Christ's message to us. So as we serve one another, we are looking into the eyes of Jesus Christ. These are some of the characteristics, the constitution of discipleship. And I have asked you every single week that we've been walking through this, where do you stand? Have you responded to the mercy of God? Are you in the Word of God? Have you responded to His call for transformation? Are you in unity with one another? Do you hold any grudge? Do you hold any pain against anyone else in the body? Are you personally engaged in serving the Lord serving one another, engaging in what God is doing through the family that is Long Beach Alliance Church. And it leads me to what we are going to talk about this morning, which is generous ownership. Take a look at the top of the back page. Whether it was Christ's restorative comments to Peter, you'll remember that Peter bungled his relationship with Jesus. Jesus knew it was coming. He said, "You're going to betray me three times." What does Peter do? He betrays him exactly three times. And there's a restorative passage in the Bible. John chapter 21 is all about the restoration of Peter. There's three different sections to John 21, and all of them have the purpose of restoring Peter back into fellowship with Jesus Christ. And there is a central message that is in the midst of that for Peter, that he wants him to own the message that I've shared with you, Peter. Own the mission of feeding my sheep, Peter. Don't worry about others, Peter. I want you to stay on course with feeding my sheep. John chapter 21 is filled with this message of how God restores Peter back into ministry. There are many exhortations throughout the New Testament to live as disciples of Jesus. The overarching message is clear, whether it's that message to Peter, whether it's the message in 1st and 2nd Timothy to those that minister, whether it's the message just generally in the New Testament, we are called to own the message and the mission of Jesus Christ. To own it. To make it our own. It's not for the professional. We're not waiting for the pastor to get it in gear so that our church can go somewhere, so that we can be on some sort of a mission. We own it personally. We're not waiting for the elders to get it in gear so that they can figure out what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to engage the mission. As individuals, as a unified body, as a community that is being transformed, we are the ones that are supposed to own what goes on in the family that is Long Beach Alliance Church. Owning the message that Jesus Christ has given us, accomplishing the mission that He has for us right here, right now. Globally, locally, we are supposed to own what God has given to us. And so my question for you this morning is, are you owning the mission and the message that God has provided to you through the ministry here at Long Beach Alliance Church? See, the miracle of God's gifts are these: mercy, transformation, unity, service, generous ownership. You can call these whatever you'd like. These are truly gifts that God has given to us. Why do I say that? Because they could all be accomplished by God perfectly by Himself. Don't you think God could do a better job without us? I do. He's perfect. He could do a sensational job all by Himself. I mean, if God really wanted to get it perfect, God would eliminate the non-perfect aspect of what He's doing, and that would be you and me. Unfortunately, the grace of God, unfortunately, all those great gifts that God has would go ungiven, because it would eliminate the objects of wrath. It would eliminate the objects of foolishness that God has in mind. And that's you and I, by the way. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:25? God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He's chosen those things which are moronic, stupid, in order to confound the wisdom of the world. He will show His greatness through the weakest of vessels. You and me. That's us. God has chosen us. He chooses us anyway. He chooses to make us objects of His mercy, of His transformation, of His unity, of His service, of ownership. He gives it to us and says, "Here it is on a silver platter. I am offering it to you." And what do we so often do? We push it away. We say, "It's for someone else. I don't have time for that kind of thing. I would rather organize my life in a way that is around me than have Jesus at the center of what I am doing," which is the mercy, transformation, unity, service, and ownership. This is at the crux of what He has offered to His disciples. This is what He has called us to as disciples of His. He chooses us, the foolish things, anyway. In God's letter C, generous inclusion of us in the mission of His church, we are also called to be generous in response. I put the verses right there on the front page. Instruct them to do good, he says to Timothy. To be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to share. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. So that they may take hold of that which is life indeed, or truly is living. Truly is living is investing in those things which are of the kingdom of God. Not just simply the kingdom of man. Investing in those things that God himself has established. His people, his church, his stuff. And not investing just in the things that are about us. This is our response. We are called to be generous with God's people, to be generous with his church. I gotta say, this kind of generosity undoes us. It throws us out of equilibrium. It doesn't come naturally to us. Those of you that are married know that a good marriage does not come naturally. A good relationship does not come naturally. Don't amen too loud, guys. All right. It just doesn't come naturally to us. You have to be strategic. You have to mean it. You have to do something about it. That's why I implore those of you that are married to have a date night, to have a regular time with one another, to go on marriage retreat, to do things that are investing in the romance of your marriage so that it will become greater and it will example Jesus to the whole world. If you're in a relationship, you should start doing that now, even before you're married. Invest so that you will reflect the glory of God for the world around you. If you're waiting for your relationship with God just to somehow magically blossom, it's not going to happen. You live in the world. The world is set against the things of God. It works against the ways of God. It actually tears us to pieces. You have to strategically, purposely go after and respond to what God has initiated. If you don't have a time with the Lord, that's what I'm talking about when I say get in the Word. Make it strategic. Engage His transformation. Engage His service. Don't just come to church and go, man, I just don't feel like I fit in. I sit here in the pew. Nobody talks to me. Get up! Talk to somebody else! We got hundreds of kids. Volunteer with them. Don't just sit there. Do something. Don't sit and complain and heckle from the sidelines. That is not what God's disciples do. They engage the mission. They take the message and they carry it to other people. This is the essence of what it means to be a disciple and to own it. Not just to watch it. Thank you. Thank you for that. This kind of generosity with ourselves, because I know what this pushes up against. Wait, my kids have got soccer schedules. My life is so full. I've got things that I do. How am I going to go to Pilates? I don't know. It requires adjusting. It requires adjusting our lives to God's schedule, to God's economy, to God's priorities. Clearly. Being generous and ready to share means that we give of ourselves as though everything in this church depends on us. That's really the mindset that the Bible calls us to. Work as though it depends on you, while recognizing that everything in the church depends on God. Do you see how those two things kind of work together? Work in the full knowledge that everything we do has been given to us, initiated by God. All of it is God's deal. It's God's idea. The whole church is God's idea. The whole concept of us being with one another is God's idea. Mercy, transformation, unity, service, generous ownership, all of it, God's idea. But we are called to respond to God's idea by working as hard as we can, as though everything here depends on me. As though I need to be the one that's investing in it. I'm the one that's going after it. I never just stand up and go, oh, well, you know, God's sovereign. He'll figure it out. I got other things to do. We're called to invest in this thing, to engage the vision with all of our lives. What does this mean? What do I mean practically speaking? Now, I know today we've got NFL football immediately following the service. Some of you are already checking your watches. You are like, Lankford, you had better get done on time. I want to see kickoff. I'm good with that. There are Sundays during the year where there are things that go on right after church. Some of you, though, have made it a habit. It's as though there is a fire in this building. And you, once the service is over, are running to your vehicle. If you, by the way, feel like you don't know very many people at the church, and you are running out the door to get in your car at whatever time we finish the service, I just want you to put two and two together. You have to make time for people if you are going to love one another. Hey, there are hundreds of people that stand around talking to each other before church. Some of you have never seen the beginning of the church service. You wouldn't know what it looks like because you are constantly walking in late. Come on in. We have a whole church service that starts at 10:30. Some of you are out of here so quickly afterwards, you don't know people that are in this body. There's only 300, 320 of us that attend on a regular basis here, or thereabouts. Many of you don't even know each other. Hang out a little bit. Make space for the one another's in Scripture. It will be impossible for you to love each other if you don't talk to each other. It is impossible to actually have relationship and unity with each other if you are not actually placing yourself into a place where you could talk or see or wave at each other. It's impossible. Don't feel like you... I understand. And I know some of you are like, you're looking over at your spouse right now or the person that you came with and you're like, dang, we got to be somewhere at noon. I feel really guilty right now. I'm not talking to you, okay? I'm just talking about the general habits that we get into. When you hear about the needs of other people, what is your response? Boy, I hope the church does something about that. You are the church! Go ahead. Feel free. Engage it. Go after it. Don't think to yourself, boy, I hope somebody at the church makes them some meals. Make them a meal. If you don't know how to cook, buy them a meal. Just go after it. Engage people. There are needs all around us. We just... I was shocked to hear that Mike Briggs passed away this last week. We just saw Carol at Claim Jumper a week ago when we were out on our date night. And she was sitting with Kathy Metz, and we were just having a conversation. And boom, Mike passes away the next week. You know what? It's so awesome. One of our deaconesses, who I'm not going to name because she didn't be embarrassed, went over to the house and learned this information. She found out, as she was standing there, she found out that Mike had passed away. And she sat down and she talked to her. And then she arranged meals for her. And then she just ministered to her. You know what? That comes right from a person's heart. A heart that is given to care about the things that Jesus cares about. It is no mistake that someone exposes or you're in a place where you hear about somebody's needs. When you think to yourself, gosh, I wonder why I'm the one that had to hear about that. Figure it out. What do you want? An engraved invitation from God? Hey, meet this need. That's what people are doing all around us all the time. They share little snippets of their lives. And it is an invitation from God to look at that person and say, there's Jesus. What will you do with him? Make no mistake. This requires adjustment. God's schedule, God's economy, God's priorities. It means working as though it depends on us. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you to engage. Not engage in some kind of theoretic manner. Engage in the vision that God has given. The Bible is replete with examples. We will study them as we work our way through 1 Corinthians. About God giving gifts and talents to His church. He gives them through individuals. He gives them through groups. He gives them to the church. They are to be generously shared. Those verses that I have listed down there, 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 31 on letter E of number 2, simply go along to say that we are part of a body. You cannot go on strike in this body. You are not allowed to say, okay, I'm a hand, I could help, I'm going to play paralyzed. I'm an eye, I'm closing my eye to what's going on around me. And it even says in there that you may sit where you are right now and think, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing good that I am contributing. I don't feel like I am very valuable. Look at that person and what they do. Look at that other person and what they do. Oh, look at them. They love children. I hate children. I can't even serve there. All these things that we fill our minds with that I am inadequate to do that thing. And those verses are abundantly clear that it is the weakest of us. It is the least of us that are the most useful in God's kingdom. Don't hide behind your weakness. Embrace it. Run after it. You have been chosen by God to be generous in His church. God has blessed some of you. Some of you He's blessed with super stable jobs in a rough economy. Some of you are actually getting raises this year in an economy that is going south on other people. How do you respond to those kinds of things? I'm about to file my taxes. I'm going to be filing my taxes in the next few weeks. And I know because of the way that we structure our finances, I'm going to be getting a large refund back from the United States government. What do you do with that? I know a lot of you get refunds. Is it going into a brand new, you know, your 38-inch flat screen isn't quite what you want. You want the 56-inch flat screen. And so you're going to give the one flat screen to your kids and they can put it in their bedroom and you're going to get that big grand Vizio there in your living. Folks, there are enormous needs that God places right in front of us. And then He provides us with the money to pay for the need. He literally says, own it. Go after it. It's yours. I want you to chase after this thing. No, don't buy another TV. What? We so often respond with hoarding, with wanting for ourselves, with taking everything and holding on to it, building the kingdom of Chris rather than the kingdom of God. He has given generously to you. Share generously with the mission, with the message that God has provided to us. See, letter F, and we will close on this. God supplies everyone in the church with resources. It's amazing to me. You know, I've been part of Long Beach Lions Church since 1993. First as the youth pastor, now as the lead pastor. And I've said this before, the biggest difference between being the student ministries pastor and being the lead pastor is the concern about the budget. Like when you're the youth pastor, you only have one concern, spending the budget. That's all you really care about. It's great. You don't have to worry about where it's coming from. You're just like, what's my bottom line? I got 10 grand. I'm spending it, you know, and that's it. I'm investing in my ministry. You're very, very focused on it. That's what we want. That's what I asked Rob to do. He's great at that. And that kind of thing. He learned from me. And Rob's a much better spender than I am. I saw 10,000, interpreted that as 14, and that kind of thing. So now I'm the lead pastor. And this last year, it was the first year that we've had this happen. We've really pushed our budget every year. We've raised our budget by close to 10% every year for the last 4 years. And this year, I know, it is pretty extraordinary. And we have met the budget and above the budget every year. This year was the first year. As the economy kind of relaxed, as people were kind of like, oh, and they, you know, holding on a little bit tight, we finally noticed we had a 6% drop in what we budgeted. Like we added 10% and we missed it by 6%. So we actually increased our giving this last year. Praise the Lord. But we didn't hit what we thought our vision was going to be. So we're having an annual vision meeting next week, which, by the way, hopefully all of this talk has you intrigued and interested in what the vision that God has placed on the hearts of Long Beach Lions Church, what that looks like and what that is. I don't genuinely care if you are a member of this church. I mean, I hope you're a member. I hope that you have said, you know what? I'm joining in on what God is doing. I'm identifying myself as a member. We're going after this together. I'm part of the team, that kind of thing. But even if you're not a member, I want you to be here for the annual vision meeting next week. I know what you're thinking. You want me to come to a business meeting? No, it's a vision meeting. Yeah, we have to talk about business stuff. We do. We talk about the budget. We talk about different people that are nominated for different roles in the church. It's all vision. It all connects. Every single nickel that is in our budget has to do with what we feel like God is calling us to. We've actually had changes occur to our budget based on the meeting that we have at the annual vision meeting. People raise their hands and they're like, you know, hey, I think we should do this or I think we should do that. That's what that meeting is for. It's to engage the vision. It's to engage who we're going to be. It's to engage what we're going to do. I never want to have a repeat of what we just did, where we said, this is God's vision for us, and then we miss it. Do you see how troubling that is? God called us to this. Whoops. What, were we 6% off on that? What happened? What happened in between the translation of what we felt God was calling us to and where we landed this last year? What occurred in that moment? I don't know. I've been doing this 4.5 years. I don't have the foggiest idea what I'm doing. All I know is this. What we do together as a family. And that annual vision meeting that we're going to be having next week, it engages exactly what I'm talking about right here. God supplies everyone in the church with resources for investing. God calls on us to invest generously in His church, locally and around the world. We are heading into several weeks of talking about missions, talking about the global mission, how Long Beach Alliance Church can engage the global mission of what God is doing all around the world. We're going to be talking about different countries. We're going to get to hear from Jason in Carolina. We're going to get to engage our partners. We're going to get to hear about the Christian Missionary Alliance. We're going to get to hear about Gatehouse Ministries from Reverend Jim Voss, the former senior pastor here at the church. We are going to engage what God is doing all around the world. Do you see where it connects? Do you see where we begin at the mercy of God? And it leads us into transformation in His Word, and it calls us into unity with one another, and we begin to serve one another the way that Jesus Christ has served us. And then we engage how we can be generous because we experience the generosity that God has for us. And when we do that, we go after what He has got going for us missionally, locally, globally. You'll see down there, I even write it, my funny little word, glocally. Global, local, kind of together. Again, owning the ministry, investing in the vision of what God is doing globally is a response of generosity which comes from a great heart, not from great wealth. I know what so many of us think. We are not wealthy. I am not rich. I cannot give. I just got a report because we just finished wrapping up, our treasurer's just wrapped up all the giving receipts and have sent all those out. And so I have been provided with the report that 50% of our ministry is supplied by 10% of the congregation financially. 10% is providing half the money that drives the vision of Long Beach Alliance Church. Now, you may be terribly uncomfortable right now. I am totally fine with that. That is phenomenal. God wants to leak into every part of your life, including the way that we generously own this ministry. I do not want to pretend to be leading as though it's my idea and gosh, we hope we hit it. I want it to be us. I want us to engage this as a family together, owning what God has provided to us and what God has provided for us in the future. And when we achieve things that we never thought possible, when God has provided for us in ways that are flat out miraculous, when we stand here together and we see Tracy and Ryan's baby that we prayed for, when we hear about Scott and Missy getting pregnant and having a baby, when we hear about these miracles that occur, it all connects. It's our family. It's our lives that are knit together by God. And we, in the midst of that, are called to be generous. Generosity which comes from a heart that beats after God. And make no mistake, one of the great passages, I think, on giving is contained in 2 Corinthians. It's that verse, those verses I listed down there for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. It's talking about a church in Macedonia. This church in Macedonia was persecuted. The church in Macedonia was not wealthy. They were very, very poor. Those of you that are familiar with this passage already know what I'm about to read, but listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. That's up in modern-day Turkey, right around that area. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. In other words, they were hammered with persecution. They were hammered financially. And how did they respond? We are going to go after the mission of God all the more. We are going to become more liberal in our giving than less. We are experiencing extreme persecution. We are experiencing poverty being forced on us, and we are going to go after it even harder. Verse 3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. On their own they did this, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Back at this time, everybody gave together to support the church that was in Jerusalem. That's what they did. They were all giving to the purposes that were around that church that was in Jerusalem. They all gathered offerings, they packaged them up, and they sent them off to Jerusalem with the apostles. Verse 5, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. In other words, what does Paul essentially say to them? Do you see the church over here in Macedonia? Do you see they're being generous? I sent Titus to you to tell you that story so that you will be more generous because you've got more money. That's essentially what he says to this church. How do you think that preaching would go over modern day? Not very well. We hold on to our money tightly. We are so concerned about where we stand financially. Folks, the kind of generosity that the Bible speaks of, the kind of generosity that has been shared by you, by God, the kind of generosity that he has called his disciples to, requires adjusting our lives. Melinda and I sat some years ago when I was the youth pastor here, riddled in debt. Tens of thousands of dollars in debt. We were north of 20 grand in debt. And we sat at a missions conference in this church, and we went home and we asked each other, how can we support what is going on? And we looked at our finances and we realized just how unfaithful we had been. How we had decided to spend money that we didn't even have on ourselves. And we made the commitment to one another. We made the commitment to the Lord with each other, I should say. That we would get out of debt and all that money that we were using in interest, paying big corporations in interest, that we would use that for the purposes of the Lord. God honored that prayer request. God honored that in our lives. We were able to wipe out all that debt in just a few years, through different means and circumstances, through different happenings and things that went on in our lives, we were able to wipe out everything. School loan debt, all of it, gone. So that we were freed up to make sure that we were able to generously support. Because we've got friends that are in ministry that aren't even connected with this church that we support. We've got the church that we support. We've got the Great Commission Fund, the missions, which we'll hear a lot about next month, that we support. We are fully engaged in what God is doing. Some of you sit there today and you think to yourself, I can't do it. I can't do it because I'm in such terrible debt. It took us a couple of years to get out of debt. But make the decision to honor God today. Make the adjustments that are necessary in your life to honor God today. If we do not make adjustments, if we do not become generous disciples, then the vision that God has for us will always be just 6% outside of our reach. It'll just be right there. We can see it, but we can't quite get there. Own it. It is yours. God has given it to you. He has provided His mercy. He has provided His word and transformation. Unity that comes from living in a family with one another. He has given us the opportunity to serve. To serve each other the way that He has washed our feet and washed our lives. God has given us the opportunity to wash each other's feet and to serve one another. And He has called us into the greatest of relationships. Not just a relationship where we just are sitting on the couch receiving, receiving, receiving. But a relationship where God actually calls on us, hey, this is my church. I want you to be a part of leading it. I want you to be a part of living it. I'm giving this to you to own. It is yours. It's your investment to make. I'm giving you gifts. I'm giving you wealth. I'm giving you all of it. What will you do? What will you do with my church? Jesus Christ asks. It has been given to us to own the message and the mission of what God has for us. My call to you this morning is, how are we doing in owning this generous ownership that God has given to us? How are we doing in owning that mission? As the worship team comes back up, I want to call on you to respond to that concept today. To respond to the idea that it is not great wealth that sets us up. I know that some of us feel that way. God, if you let me win the lottery, I'll give 20% to you. Phenomenal. Quit playing the lottery, get out of debt, and then maybe use what God has given to you in order. I mean, some of you laugh at that. This is really some of our thinking. This is really how some of us process. Someday, and you know, when I hit the pie in the sky, I'll be generous. The Bible is clear. When we are generous in very small things, God will give us those other things, those larger things. When we show responsibility in the little, God gives us the greater. It's not even an equation in Scripture. It's just the way that we even lead our children. And it's the way that God leads us. As we are faithful in the small things, we will be drawn into the larger things. God has larger things for us. God has things as a vision for us that are out there. Our faithfulness to where we are today, to the mercy, transformation, unity, service, and generous ownership of His church. This is the constitution of a disciple of Jesus Christ. How will we respond to what He has done? Be prayerful in that endeavor. Be active in responding to it. Let's worship Him this morning. Let's respond in prayer.